Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, Chris Williams, and I'm in studio today with Dr. Alice Benton.
Hello.
And Jim Burns.
Chris, great to be with you, and I get the Alice-Chris team.
Yes.
We had a lot of fun the last time we were together.
And you know what? You're not supposed to have favorites, but your guys are kind of my favorites. Well, you know, I've just started doing this, and I just love and adore both of you, and you give incredible input. So,
Well, I'm not supposed to be boastful, but if I had a nickel... Right?
Did we just put Steve down and all the rest
no,
of us?
No, we love Steve. This all happens because of Steve.
Because of Steve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We get to have this fun. We get to have these conversations and these opens, you know? And so the open I want to talk about today is there is this verse in Ephesians, and it says, "To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his work that is within us." So, spoke on this last weekend, actually. And we mostly attribute that verse to like sort of external circumstances, or maybe it's a sickness, or maybe it's we're falling short on a mortgage payment, or whatever the case may be. So we're always playing, or an opportunity. God can do more than we can ask or imagine. So he can change something out there. But there is zero, I mean zero, in that in the context, because it happens at the end of the prayer. Prayer is Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. And in those seven verses, Paul is only addressing how we are transformed from the inside through the dwelling and love of Christ. And so my question to you guys today is that we have this sort of audacious promise from God to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his work that is within us. For you guys, what is that work within us? How does the love of God through Christ in us change us? And how do we experience that?
Sometimes it can be very disappointing when we think he's going to change the circumstances and he doesn't. And we start to lose hope that he is working and answering our prayers. But when we redirect our attention, like you're pointing us to what he's doing inside of us, that's where I think Paul's secret to finding contentedness in any situation comes from. Yeah. It's not usually the external circumstances changing. It's the shalom God is willing to give us. It's the character development. Mm-hmm. But it's harder to celebrate that when I want my circumstances to change.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, you said that so well, Allison. I oftentimes say your circumstance may not change, but your attitude can change, and that makes all the difference in the world, and that's an inside job. And for me, it's real practical. I call it thank therapy. Mm. Many years ago, I started writing down 20 reasons why I was thankful. I did it this morning. And that has become my reflex reaction. It wasn't at the beginning.
Yes.
I could whine and grumble and complain about everything. And yet, that there's a scripture in Ephesians that says, in everything you do. And it doesn't say for everything. Mm. So even my mom passed away many years ago, but for some reason, she's really been on my mind about the time of her birthday. And I thought, you know, I couldn't be thankful for mom's early death with cancer. But in her death, she's now free from pain. My dad became a Christian after that. Our family came back together. I mean, so I can even find things in.
Yes.
And so it's a reflex reaction that comes from the inside that we've got to do some work.
Yes, absolutely. Well, just this morning, I was encountering a problem with the business. And it's not a minor one. It's a significant one. And I don't have a solution. I really don't. And so it got me twisted. It got me in a fear and frustration place. And I just had to spend some time journaling, praying. Yeah. And I was just reminded of what I spoke on. And that, to your point, Alice, is that, wow, regardless of my circumstances, can I find that the love of God provides me peace and assurance that He is guiding, leading, and taking care of me regardless of the circumstances? We want to offer that to you today, and we'll be right back. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. I do want to update us on a really, really, really exciting development here at New Life. We, friends of New Life, have pulled together, and listen to this, okay? Ready? $706,420. So almost $750,000 for New Life.
Wow.
However, really wisely, these friends of New Life just don't want to do that alone. They want to do that in partnership. They want to do that in a way that maximizes and multiplies the gift. And so this is a matching gift. And so funds are not released until they are matched. And so this is where the rest of us come into play. The rest of us also get to be a part of this really, really exciting gift that keeps us on the airways, that keeps our workshops, keeps everything that we're doing functioning and moving forward. So we want to get this thing fully met by May 31st. That is a pretty aggressive and hopeful goal, but I know that we can do it. But if you're listening out there right now and you want to be a part of what we're doing, and what you're doing, by the way, is bringing hope and healing in life's hardest places, please give today. Let's match this gift. Let's get out there, get on the phone, go to newlife.com and or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and give to the matching gift. We will also give you a copy of The Heart Handbook by Laura Mangan McDonald. And so it is a great, great resource that really helps your heart realign to its best functioning, which is always functioned in connection to God, ourselves, others, and working through the stuff that we have in life. But be a part of it. We'd love for you to, again, get this thing off the ground and get this gift matched and keep us moving forward.
Chris, not very long ago, I was listening to New Life, devouring the episodes because it was starting to change my life, and I was hearing truths from New Life that I had never heard before, never learned in graduate school for psychology. But when I discovered New Life, my life started to truly change. But I didn't donate for the longest time until I heard one of these matching gifts come up, and I was spurred to give back because I've been riding on the shoulders of the other generous people who were keeping New Life going. So I want to speak to those of you who were in my shoes, who are still in my shoes. If you have not yet donated, please consider doing so now so that the message can spread even farther and so that more lives can be changed.
And it's just fun to be able to say, hey, here's 25, that's actually 50. Here's 50, that's actually 100, and on and on and on and on. So it's a lot of fun. So let's do this. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to L, listening in Seattle, Washington. Did I get that correct?
Yes, L.
L, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
All right, well, tell us what's going on. How can we help you?
Okay, the question is, how do I repair the relationship with my sister, who I hurt deeply at a bad time in her life? I'll try to make this quick. So she's been married 20 years, but like living separated at opposite ends of a small house with her husband for the last couple of years. She's even sent him out of the house to go live elsewhere periodically because she just can't deal with the stress of living with him. He's a really funny, affable guy everyone likes. They've been married a long time. So he dropped an atom bomb on her back in October that he was going to get a girlfriend. And that was after, like, confirming with her that they were done. We're done, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we're done, she says. Okay, but she's devastated, though. She never actually believed that after abusing all these years and his children, and it was his second marriage, that he would actually do that to her. So she's, you know, lying there, lacerated. So here's a few months later, but what I had done at the time was I had hastily written him an email trying to, like, be supportive, saying, you know, sorry, what's going on, and, you know, I understand, and we, being my brother and mother and I, we're kind of a small family, we're kind of surprised he didn't do it sooner, and because, well, she could never really see beyond herself, mm-hmm. the essence of the email. So, you know, it was for him. It was poorly worded. Later I called him back and said, can you just delete that? You know, I wouldn't want her to see that. It's an email account they share, but she'd never look at. So I assumed he went ahead and deleted it, but he didn't. He actually sent it to her.
Oh.
Mm.
I can't imagine why he would want to hurt her that way. Whatever. Anyway, so he actually sent that to her. Now, so he says, well, she showed it to me. She sent it to me. It's like, well, I hope this doesn't hit you at a bad moment, but here's what your sister said about you. Oh, God. So there she's already in the middle of an antibody, and he hands her a live grenade. And now she is really hurt.
Yes, yeah.
So my question is, how do I deal with this? Because I got two things here. It's like, I feel really bad for her. I really feel so bad that she's hurt so much.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, she said, I just can't, I'm so sad that you have such a low opinion of me. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I just said, it was just a short text. She said that, and I said back, well, I don't actually have a low opinion of you. I'm really glad of all the closeness we've had in the last couple of years. And I don't have a low opinion, even though it kind of sounded that way.
Yeah. So
the fact is,
But there's a rupture. You know, there's a rupture in the relationship, right? From this email that she sent from you. So the question is simply, how do I repair it if it's open to repair?
Well, it is. But the other question is, I don't know whether I should address the elephant in the room, which has been here forever. My sister's a nice person, and I like her a lot. We do. People like her.
Sure, sure. But what's the elephant?
She's utterly, utterly self-centered. She never accommodates anyone but herself. She manipulates by going into, oh, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown.
Okay, Elle, we don't need to go into all the details right now for time's sake, but I want to get to these two questions. You know, how do I repair? And do I address the elephant in the room? Yeah.
Which is that she really... everything I said was true. She was an evil stepmother, etc.
Okay, so...
And...
So hold on.
She burnt her two other husbands.
Hold on. Sure. So we know that there's a lot of details around that, but how do we address these things? Okay.
So, Elle, I suggest that you separate out those two conversations, because I don't think your sister can receive that kind of true feedback about her character at this point. And because there's a wedge in the relationship, she particularly probably can't hear it from you right now, although it is a truth that would be good to give her at a later point, because we all need those ugly truths about ourselves so that we can improve. But she probably first needs recognition from you that it was a mistake. It was a mistake to send that. It was a mistake to say the things you did the way that you said them, even if there's truth to what you said. And I think a danger that you'll have to be very cautious about is laying all the blame on him because he showed it to her, which, of course, he shouldn't have done. That wasn't helpful. But that would be minimizing your part in it if you just point to him. So a humble apology.
I don't want to do that.
Good. You already have the right instinct there. A humble apology without even bringing him into the equation that I really misstepped when I sent that email, the way that I talked about you. That was wrong of me to do. Would you tell me how it affected you? And be a non-defensive listener.
Sure. Yes.
You know, I just would add this. There's two words. I'm sorry. Obviously, what you thought you did was with pure motives, but she took it differently. You'll have to decide what place in her life you want to be. And if you want to be the person that tries to fix it, probably isn't going to work. That could go. But with your sister, what you might have to do is say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And truly, when you do that, that doesn't make it all better, and it doesn't mean that you're the only person right. But the phrase that I like to think of is, in this relationship with your sister, do you want to be right or do you want to have a good relationship? To have a better relationship, you're going to have to start kind of over.
Yeah, right.
And you could be right, yes. 100%. I mean, I think about this. I've been married for 47 years to my wife, Kathy, and there's times when I go, you know what? I just need to keep my mouth shut right here. Even though I could be in an argument and I could, in my humble opinion, be right. But sometimes I just need to, you know, step back. And there's almost always something that you can, you know, say you're sorry for. So build back up the relationship by saying, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And then as time goes on, maybe there is a chance for you to, you know, try to help her think through some of her stuff. But the truth is that because there was damage, sometimes it's best, in my opinion, and sometimes not, but sometimes it's just best to say, wow, I overstepped my bounds by, you know, writing to him. And you almost have to assume in a situation like that he is going to show that to her. Just because that's how relationships work, especially ones that are breaking up.
So,
yeah, I get that. This idea that I need to just accept responsibility and be really sorry and be an open listener. I get that. I've been listening to you guys forever. I guess that's just it, and let go of the fact that I didn't hurt her. He did.
No. L. That's not true. That's not true. I got to stop you there. Because they're your words. They're not his words. Let me give you a principle here. This may help you understand. I'm going to take this a different route. In supporting another person, if we slander somebody else, it's never helpful. That's not support.
Yeah.
Right? That's not support. Okay?
Got it.
So you have to own that part. You have to own the part that, man, I made a mistake here. Now, he has. Like, there's no doubt that I think what you're maybe referring to is that his hurt in the relationship, maybe he took the email and used it as a stabbing device, right? And that would probably follow suit with their relationship. But one of the things I want you to be able to work on is this word called differentiation. And what that means is that that's not your marriage. It's not your – you don't have to get involved or be deeply impacted by what they're choosing to do or not do. Now, you still have compassion and you still can definitely have an opinion. But when you try to insert yourself into the middle of it, what happens is this thing called triangulation. You get sucked into their drama. You get sucked into their issues. And then you will either be a rescuer, which never works, always keeps the person in the victim state stuck, or you will be a persecutor. You'll be the bad guy. And so when we say, no, I'm going to, like, what Jim was referring to, mind my own business. But if there's an opportunity to speak truth with grace, which Alice refers to so beautifully often, is so powerful, then I'll take that opportunity. But right now, the only thing that you need to worry about, I believe, is repairing the rupture.
And Elle, it is complex it's complex that what you said about your sister in the email to him might actually be factual. Yeah. So it does create some confusion, I think, about the whole thing and what you should apologize for and how you should apologize. So I'd be cautious to be very genuine in my apology, to not say, I didn't mean anything I said, because the truth is you did mean what you said, but that the way I went about that was very hurtful to you and was used against you. That's and it. I'm part of that. I'm a big part of what happened.
Oh, yes. I wrote it. Yes.
There we go. Yes. That's the responsibility taking, that phrase you just used, to bring that to your sister versus he hurt her, not me. Oh, that was a breakthrough on your part right there, Elle. Take that to your sister.
So, Elle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So it's all just about accepting responsibility and just let all the rest of the stuff, the fact that it's true, the fact that he showed it to her and all that, I'm so mad at him, just let all that
go.
And don't talk to anyone about it.
Absolutely, because, you know, it's like, hey, I only can worry about the mud that I stepped in. I can't worry about anyone else's mud, and he's got a lot. So, Well, thank you so much for calling in today. We hope that you and your sister are able to reconcile. You're able to move forward in this. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and I believe that that'll kind of help you with that big word differentiation. So give us a call today, 1-800-229-3000. Again, it's 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to talk to you, and we'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, I'm in studio with Dr. Alice Benton and Jim Burns, and we would love to hang out with you. We want to help you out. We want to serve you. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Again, that's 1-800-229-3000. And with that, we're going to go right back to the calls. We're going to go to Carrie in Anchorage, Alaska, listening at KATB. Carrie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. How can we help you today?
So I'm looking for advice on reconciling a relationship with my oldest brother.
Okay.
An older brother.
Well, what's going on there?
I know. And so over the years, it's with parents passing away. There's something always said negative, or something said negative that hurt, and then it's like, well, yeah, we don't know what he's going through, but we'll just forgive and forget. And then I guess all that came.
No, but hold on.
To a head.
Who's your parents were saying that about your brother? Your brother about your parents?
Oh no. So when my mom passed away first, and that was probably 11 years ago and stuff, but he managed to communicate something that was hurtful, and why he did that, I'm not sure.
Hurtful
and
to
then
you?
When my father passed, correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, so when my father passed away, something else hurtful was said, and all. And it's like, how can he, you know, say that?
Carrie, what did he say to you?
Going on. So my dad had remarried, and he just berated me for having more pictures of his current wife than with my mom. But my thought was, my father's life was, up until the point he passed away, was with his current spouse.
So Carrie, it sounds like your parents went through a fairly painful divorce, and there's like a lot of...
Oh, no. My mom passed away.
Oh, she passed away. Your dad remarried. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Remarried.
That makes
correct.
Sense. That makes, makes more sense. So, yeah. But your brother was hurt or offended by the pictures that you have of your father and his new wife. Some hurtful comments were said.
Right.
And yeah. So what's the question for us today?
So just with all that building up, and just recently I found out that I'm a uncle to his child that we didn't know about for 30 years. He's upset again now that I didn't reach out to him before I reached out to establish a relationship with her. I reached out to the child's mom.
So hold on. Carrie. So I need a question. How can we help you today?
Just with all the hurt that's there, just trying to establish
establish
a relationship.
Yeah, establishing or reconnect with your brother. Yeah. So.
Yeah. With all, and I understand. I've forgiven him.
Sure.
And all.
Sure. Well, let us Carrie, give us some space here. Let us help you out. So, Alice, what do you think?
Yeah. Oh, indeed.
I heard your forgive and forget philosophy, Carrie, and most of us were taught that that is the way to go about dealing with hurt, especially within a family system. But as you're experiencing, it doesn't work. The forget part, right. It doesn't work, especially when there is added hurt by your brother who's repeating the pattern. He's very critical of you, and even the good things that you're doing, he's going to find something wrong with it. And I would guess it has probably more to do with some of the shame that he's carrying about himself and mistakes he's made in his life. I think he might have a trail of some broken relationships in his own life. But it's coming out at you. And so as forgive and forget, even though it's a well-known phrase, it's not actually biblical, and it's not humanly very possible. What works better than forgive and forget is process and talk about the anger and the hurt with a trusted friend. Feel the hurt, deal with the hurt, because you've experienced a lot of it from your brother, probably over a lifetime. And yes, we are called to choose to forgive. But forgiveness on our part doesn't necessarily mean the relationship is going to be safe for reconciliation. That's a separate process that has to do with whether or not your brother becomes a safer man. It sounds more likely with the little that we know that you'll have to forgive and then protect your heart from him and expect that there will be more criticism coming your way. That's how your brother tends to operate, unless he decides to change and gets help in order to change.
How's that sound, Carrie?
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. And so I think the real challenge here is that you're going to have to really continue to embrace a grief and loss process. You don't want to lose any more family members, right? But in the midst of this, we want you to, like, as Alice was saying, gather your tribe of people around you, your guys that can help you process through. If you don't have one, get one. It's really essential. But Carrie, thank you for calling in. We're going to send you the Emotional Freedom Workbook, and we know that that will help you and bless you. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. And I have in studio Dr. Alice Benton, Jim Burns, and we're going to go, excuse me, right back to the phones. We're going to Lynn in Woodbridge, Virginia, listening on WAVA. Lynn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
Okay, just the crux of it. My daughter and I are not really getting along right now, and she's pregnant, and I overheard a conversation between her and her dad that she really doesn't want me to come down and visit after the child's born because I make her and her husband feel uncomfortable, and she's going to be having a baby shower here soon, and I've opted not to go to the baby shower, and I feel like I'm honoring her true feelings, because she doesn't know that I overheard that conversation. So you know, friends and family are not like some people are like, oh yeah, I totally can understand it, yeah, that's great, and others are like mortified that I'm not going to go. So I'm going to, I guess, kind of let you guys be the tiebreaker. Like, should I go or
hold on, hold on, hold on. So One, here's what we're not going to do today.
Okay.
And I'm speaking for my co-host, okay. But we're not going to be the tiebreaker, right? Because we're not going to make that decision for you because that decision is addressing the wrong problem. And we're not about okay. solving the wrong problem, right? So Jim, what's the right problem?
Well, I hear a lot of hurt with you, and I would understand hearing that. And that is very painful that your daughter is going to have a baby, and she would rather you not be there. And it would be important for you to understand, and I hope your husband is very almost bluntly honest with you, what is the reason if your daughter's not going to talk to you about it. Because, you know, here's what I think, though, in terms of what your daughter needs right now is a cheerleader, probably not for you to step in. A lot of times with adult children, we try to still give advice. Unsolicited advice is taken as criticism. They believe you, you don't think they're all grown up. So it's called zip the tongue when it comes to advice. And even sometimes if you have to ask for permission, that's the norm. I mean, I have three daughters, and there's some hormones and drama in my life has been all of my life, right? But what I was shocked, they didn't want my advice or my input. And you know what? My guess is what she wants is her mom to come alongside and cheer. So you're going to have to decide if you go to the shower or not. But if you do go to the shower, it's a time for you not to take the lead, for you to be in the back and just cheer and love on her. And I know you can do that, even though you got stuff you want to talk about. And time goes on, some of that may have to happen. But, you know, I don't know about your daughter, but my daughters have said things on Thursday, and they actually had their mind changed on Friday. And, you know, they've said hurtful things, but that's not really what they meant. And so if she goes back and forth on some of that, during this time, you be the cheerleader. You be the most incredible supporter of her and zip up, you know, I like to say keep your mouth shut and welcome Matt out. And I personally think, now that's more pastoral advice than what they're going to say with psychological advice, but I would say, you know, be the mom that you would want your mom to have been with a child, and I'm guessing you probably didn't want her to give you a lot of advice. You may come to her for some, but again, my guess is be the biggest cheerleader you can be, and don't make decisions just based out of your own hurt. Make decisions on, you know, what would be best in the long run. That's my shot at it.
Gotcha.
When it must have bruised your heart to the core to hear that she doesn't want you to visit your grandchild. How painful.
It does.
And I can see how not going to the shower is an attempt to honor. You know what? You don't want me around? Then I won't be around. Not the shower either.
And I'm not trying to be vindictive or anything. I'm just, you know, because you know, for the whole wedding, we had this conversation. Everything was supposed to be good. And then, you know, about 4 hours later, I give her a hug, and she just cringes and can't wait to leave. And I'm like, nothing has changed, you know. And I kind of was like, okay, I'm just going to kind of keep plugging along and just trying to make things work. And during the whole wedding and everything, it just was... You know, I just could never do anything right. And
this
so
is
now,
this is not
you know,
this is
I heard
Lynn,
the conversation.
Lynn, I'm going to interrupt. It's not the first time you have felt her push you away, and yet you
Absolutely.
Have continued to try to engage with your daughter, and the result has just been more hurt. So even more so, I understand you not going to the shower. You said the word, I'm not trying to be vindictive, and I appreciate that. I believe that you're not. I think that your radar is accurate, that she will feel it as you being vindictive or possibly passive-aggressive, even though that is not your intention. So there's a passive way to honor her wishes, which is, you know, that I'm not going to be around you. I will step back, and I do it with the best of intentions. But God usually calls us to be more proactive, especially if we want to maintain the potential for relationship with our children down the road. And actively addressing it would be bringing to her, you know, I notice there are times you pull back from me. You don't even have to reference the conversation you overheard. There are times you pull back from me, and there's pain between us. And these are a couple of the things I know I've done that have hurt you. And Orlin, if you're not sure, I want to know what I have done that's made it hard to be in relationship. I want to hear from you about it. That would be an active but very risky way of dealing with what you know to be stirring between you and your daughter. And it will probably have the likelihood of better results than totally backing away from her. But it's risky. Go ahead, Glenn. It
also, I was going to add, Alice, what I was going to add is don't have that conversation in the heat of emotion.
Yeah.
You know, make it, have it over a cup of coffee when things seem to be going better. You don't want to do, you know, too many times we have really, we try it when things aren't going well. So this would be a time if she could, you know, go on a little date with her daughter and have that conversation. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to be better than, you know, if it's going tit for tat and trying to, you know, with lots of energy and emotion at the time. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Go ahead,
well,
Lynn. Sorry.
I tried doing the whole date thing, like her and I were going to go and do something before the wedding, just the two of us, and every single day there was always some reason why she couldn't get there. So, I mean, in all honesty, she really feels this way. It does not, and I'm at a point when I sent her the text and said, I think you're going to be a great mom. At 26, you have some characteristics that I love. You're strong. You're confident. I wish I had those at 26. I overheard the conversation. I now am happy. I know that your true feelings.
So
I'm going to step back.
So good. That's good. So Lynn, let me jump in because there's a lot. We can go to a lot of different details and circumstances here.
Gotcha. Yep. No. I get it.
Yeah. So what I think, what I'm assuming, okay, is that your daughter is harboring a pattern in the relationship that has built up over a long period of time, and she's not safe to express it for whatever reason. That may not have anything to do with you. I think you guys need to get into a counselor. I think you need a third party to kind of find that safety to say the unsaid. And one of the difficult questions I would encourage you to hold on to ask her, it's a little bit risky, and you got to do it from, you know, Alice coaches us on this very well, from a non-defensive, non-reactive place, is asking her, what is it like for you to be my daughter?
Okay.
You know, now again, I really believe that would be best in a safe environment where she has a better opportunity to express her true feelings. Now, in that, you know, we do have to use discernment because, you know, parents and children and close relationships, we sort of get in the way of each other's anger, right? So that happened this morning. I was pretty frustrated about a situation that happened at work. And so I was short with my oldest son and my wife. They didn't do anything to me. They didn't do anything wrong. They, you know, but it was. I came out sideways to them. You know, I got to go back and definitely repair that. But maybe I've chosen someone as a punching bag that doesn't deserve it. But I at least need to have an opportunity to say the unsaid and to go after the issue. And that's why I'm like, hey, listen, you can go or not go to the baby shower, but that won't do anything for what you and your daughter need. You need that chance to address what is unsaid. So
wonderful.
Yeah, so we're going to send you a copy of How We Love, mm-hmm. because I believe that there's patterns in there that book shows, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's just in relationships and how we do life. So Lynn, well, that's coming your way. Thank you so much for calling in today. We greatly appreciate you, greatly appreciate everyone who calls in. And I just want everyone to know, we have gone through, and we always do, to be honest, death is and loss are constants in life. And we have a Transforming Grief workshop May 7th. I've just known over and over in my own life and other people's life, getting stuck in grief is a painful, painful place to be. You don't have to stay there. Sign up today. Transforming Grief, May 7th. It's online. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. And we're coming into our final segment. We're going to go right back to the phones. And we're going to listen in to Marie in Hyattsville, Maryland. Am I getting that right? Marie, are you there?
Yes.
So
yes, I'm here.
And it's Hyattsville, right?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, how can we help you today?
Yes, I have a question as to whether or not I should stay in my marriage.
Okay. Talk to me. What's going on?
Okay, I've been married. It has not been a year yet. It would be a year in June of this year. And my husband does not live in the United States. He lives in another location in another country. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though the communication is not as the way it used to be. And some of the texts he's sending to me now is like, he's calling me a no good woman, and I don't appreciate that at all. And it's like he doesn't, I feel as though he does not have the same feeling towards me as he did before.
Yeah.
Marie, have you two lived together since you've been married, or before you were married? Were you in a similar location?
No, never.
And so your whole relationship and your entire marriage has been long distance?
Yes.
And he previously used to treat you well. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, he did.
And at what point did it change, and do you know why?
It seems as though it has changed within within the last 2 months. And it seems as though, like, he asked me to do something. It seems as though when he asked me to do something and I don't do it, he has this attitude, or it's like he calls me no good because I don't do something he asked me to do. I don't understand why he's saying that.
Why is he in a different country?
That's where he lives. I met him in a different location.
Did you meet him online or in person?
In person.
In person. Yeah. And
yes.
You know, we're probably all surprised that you're living. You're married. You've only been married for less than a year, and you're in one country and he's in another. What is the reason for that?
It's because I'm doing the paperwork now for him to get here. Mm-hmm.
And what has he asked of you recently that you weren't able or willing to do that led to this upset?
Well, he's telling me that he wanted a cell phone. Because he said his cell phone was broken. So it's like, if you want us to communicate, you should send me a cell phone. And I was thinking, in my opinion, if you want to talk to me, you need to get the cell phone yourself. Why are you telling me to send your cell phone? And to me, it sounds like an excuse because he just had a cell phone before I left there, a new cell phone.
And have you been seeing signs that he's been overly dependent on you financially and perhaps in order to get his paperwork?
I don't know what you mean by that, over-dependent.
Have you felt like he's trying to take advantage of you and trying to get money from you, funding, support?
It seems like he does make excuses why he doesn't have money now. That's what it seems like to me now, yes.
And is there any desire within you for this marriage to work, and or does the power of the covenant you made compel you to continue to try at this marriage?
It's a little bit of both.
And what? Give us one of his greatest characteristics for which you fell in love with him and maybe you still see signs of it within him.
One of his, when I was sick, he really took care of me because I got really, really sick last year, and he took care of me. And it's like, he does certain things for me, like he cooks for me and stuff like that.
So because of the gravity of entering into the covenant of marriage, and I assume, are you a Christian and your faith is influencing your decision? Okay. Because of the gravity of that, God, of course, wants us to do everything possible to try to salvage a marriage, and how difficult that it's not even been a year yet, and you're seeing these very concerning signs. But if I were you, I think I would regret not giving it everything I had to try to hold to those good things that I had with my husband at the beginning. Because my hope would be those characteristics are still within him. But there are red flags that you're concerned about. So if you have not yet tried couples counseling, even though it would be long distance, but it would still be doable, I would certainly give that a shot. And I would want to try to live in the same location for a time to see if it's a salvageable marriage before making a decision to end it before this first year is over.
Okay.
Jim, what do you think?
Well, how long did you know him before you guys got married?
2.5 years.
Okay, good. A long time. And were you with him in person during that time, most of the time?
Not most of the time.
Alice is right. I would today, when we're done, I would call and find a good counselor who could do a Zoom meeting with both of you. But you might want to have that conversation with that counselor first. You know, the Bible says where there's no counsel, the people fall, and in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And, you know, I wrote a book once called Getting Ready for Marriage, and it's, you know, what do you do to get ready for marriage? And I'm not sure you guys would have taken all of the advice at this point in that because, you know, there are some flags, and, you know, Alice talked about flags. And so what I would do is I would get together with a counselor. I don't know that you and he can work this out without the help of a moderator. You know, the interesting thing about marriage counseling is that a marriage counselor knows patterns, understands the issues. And so if I was sitting having a cup of coffee with you, I would hand you the name of, you know, a counselor and say, go for it. And get that counselor to help you make the right and wise decisions. And again, I hope you aren't away from each other for too long, because that is really, really, really tough on a marital relationship.
So Marie, I think there's two things here. Yeah. So the first thing is doing what you can to see if this thing's going to work. I think the other thing too is pay attention to the red flags, mm-hmm. right? If you're being used and taken advantage of, because we definitely honor the covenant of marriage, but we also have to understand what is a marriage. Right. Is a piece of paper a marriage, you know, or is two people in that the covenant itself contains certain characteristics that have to be there for the covenant to be honored. And so that's where it's like, hey, if you're being taken advantage of, if you're being used, or if he makes a request that you can't meet and he has a really negative reaction, Steve has a word for that. He calls it king baby, right? So you must honor me as the man, but the second that you don't do what I ask you to do, I turn into a big baby, right? So that's a huge characterological problem that he needs to deal with.
That's where a counselor can help.
Exactly.
Too. That's why she needs the discernment of somebody who's from the outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's actually two books we're going to send you. We're going to send you How We Love, and we're also going to send you, I don't know if we have it. Hopefully we have it. Is Boundaries in Marriage. And so I think that both of those will help. Hey, here's how we're relating to each other, but also here's how I need to protect that which is good within me and the marriage. Through the Boundaries book. So, Marie, we do hope and pray that this works out best for you and your husband, and that God's continued work of healing and growth and reconciliation and covenant can still continue to happen for you guys. Thank you again for calling in. And thank you all for listening to us. Again, I just want to remind you, we have this incredible matching gift, $706,420. That every penny, every dollar, every whatever you give is going to be matched. So join us in there in that. Dr. Alice, Jim, thank you guys so much for hanging out with me today. It's always fun. Thank you guys for being with us. And we will be back on tomorrow to help you with your issues.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.